Let us pray. Be in our words, O God, and in our understanding. Be in our hearts and in the love we bring. Be in our lives and set us to praise, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.
You confused me with this.
I'm sorry.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. These are the gifts from the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives abilities to everyone for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person he gives the ability to speak in strange languages, and to another he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all of this. As he wishes, he gives a different gift to each person. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues and interpreting those tongues. Today's theme in our Presbyterian calendar is the gifts of women. Quite an all-encompassing topic, I might say. When I first envisioned this theme, I recalled a clip art from many, many years ago. It was a woman juggling many different chores. There was the dishes, there was the laundry basket, the keys to the van, the vacuum cleaner. She was holding up a typewriter. This is an old clip art. She had a baby pushing her in a stroller and another little guy here with a soccer uniform on. You get the picture. She was juggling all her gifts. The gifts of God are required of both men and women, so please, men, don't feel left out today. Each person has a multitude of talents to share. The question that we need to ask is, what do we want to do with our God-given gifts? Do we freely share them, or do we hide them under a bushel, as the old saying goes? Throughout the ages, women have shared their gifts in unique ways. We heard some of these gifts in the beautiful, beautiful duet and in the responsive litany. I'd like to share a few highlights of these gifts in no particular order. First, let's talk about Miriam, the sister of Moses. She showed so much bravery after her mother, Jochebed, had hid Moses for 3 months. She placed him in the reeds along the bank of the Nile. By approaching the Pharaoh's daughter, when the Pharaoh's daughter saw him, she put herself way out there. What if the Pharaoh's daughter was not smitten by the baby, but instead questioned Miriam as to why she was so interested in him? God was watching out not only for Moses that day, but also for his sister and his mother. The Pharaoh's daughter trusted Miriam and later took the child as her son and, of course, named him Moses, which means I drew him out of the water. Then there's Naomi and Ruth. I admire Naomi for her fortitude and persistence. First, she left her homeland and followed her husband to a distant land in search of a better life for her family. After the death of her husband and her sons, she was determined to go on and return to her home in Bethlehem. She exhibited selflessness. She willingly was ready to go back home. But Ruth, the Moabite, insisted on going with her, even though she said she didn't need to. Ruth exhibited loyalty to her mother-in-law, even at the risk of being a foreigner in a land that was not always welcoming. Ruth then married Boaz and became the mother of Obed, who was the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. Then we have Sarah and Elizabeth, two women I can relate to. Both had the gift of patience and perseverance. In the case of Sarah, she also had the gift of a sense of humor. She laughed when she heard that she would give birth in her old age. So did I. Sarah prayed with Abraham for many years for a child, and her prayers were answered when she gave birth to Isaac. My prayers were answered through Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the other Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, at a very old age also gave birth to John. Elizabeth shared the gift of wisdom with a very young Mary on her visit prior to Jesus' birth. Deborah had the gift of leadership as she led Israel into victory over the Canaanites. Quite a feat for a woman back in the Old Testament days. Esther. Xerox chose her to be queen. She was very persistent as the queen in her throne. When told of the plot that Haman had to kill the Jews, she went straight to the king and pleaded for the Jewish people. She saved them from utter destruction. Then we have Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. Two very different personalities, both with important gifts. Martha shared the gift of hospitality, and Mary the gift of listening and thus gaining knowledge. The debate goes on, which is the greater gift? Somebody really does need to do the cooking and cleaning, but listening to and learning from our guests is also important, especially when that guest is the Messiah. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Was there ever a more devoted mother? She watched as her son was banished from their hometown, criticized and hung for the sins of others. She never wavered or turned her back on her beloved child. The faith it took for a young girl to accept that God had a plan for her life. Pregnant before marriage in a most unusual way, she believed and followed God's instructions. She was devoted, obedient, faithful, loving, the epitome of a gifted, strong woman. There are so many others. We've heard of some of them in the readings today. Dorcas, who was also known as Tabitha, made clothing for the poor in Joppa and was loved by her community for her good works. She's referenced in Acts as being raised from the dead by Peter. The miracle performed by Peter caused many from Joppa to believe in the risen Christ, one of the first missionaries, one of the first women. Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth. She's also known as the first European to become a Christian. Then there was Mary Magdalene, one of the women who followed Jesus from the start. She was present at his crucifixion, his burial, and of course at the amazing resurrection on that first Easter morning. All of these women faithfully went about their lives doing good and serving others. Then I believe there were some women who are not mentioned in the Bible. I sometimes wonder about them. What about the apostles' wives? The 12 were told to drop everything and follow Jesus around the countryside for 3 years, and then after he was gone, to continue to spread the word after his death. Did none of these men have wives and children? Were they all single and carefree? I think probably not. These women held down the fort, so to speak, in the absence of the breadwinner or the fish gatherers of their family. They proceeded to keep the home fires burning. They gathered the food and water, weaved the clothing, and took care of their families. This isn't so unlike many women today, is it? Women who are widowed and left to raise their children. Women whose husbands or the fathers of their children leave them high and dry. Women and men whose spouses serve in the armed forces and are called to active duty in faraway places where families aren't allowed to go. My nephew is a ranger in the special forces, and he's currently deployed to somewhere in the world. His wife and two young children are in the state of Washington, where my nephew is permanently stationed. That's military talk for you live here until we tell you to move. His wife and his two little kids are a continent away from family, awaiting his return. She's just one of many who keep on keeping on while their spouse is away. Today, single mothers and fathers are faced with the feeding of the family, clothing them, in addition to often working an outside job, making sure the kids get to doctor's appointments, sports and schools activities, get their homework done, to say nothing of providing love and emotional support when they themselves are often drained and tired. The list is endless, yet they keep on going day after day. Today, let's take a moment and salute the gifts of our Three Voices women, as well as the men. As a church family, we work so well together and share our gifts for the greater good. Kevin and I are blessed to have gifts which complement one another. His musical talent, his storytelling, his deep knowledge of the scripture, his ability to figure out how to work those computers and show pictures on the wall, all are gifts that I don't possess. But I am able to take minutes, organize programs and mission projects, set a few meeting dates, and come up with agendas. Not that he couldn't do what I do, but...
I can't do what
you do. Well, it makes it easier when we share the load anyway, because I can't sing and I don't know what to do with that thing. The same can be said for our church family. There are those who sing beautifully and a few who have hid their talent under a bushel for a while. Thank you, Karen. Such a wonderful, wonderful job. There are those who speak and serve as readers, those who serve communion, those who proofread and print the bulletins and newsletters and catch the mistakes of Kevin and I, those who lead and participate in the Bible and book studies, those who generously give of their financial resources as well as material gifts to mission and outreach, those who work in the kitchen and prepare food and clean up after our various events, those who make phone calls and visit others, those who send cards, those who care for the church properties and keep track of the physical aspects of the buildings, those who shovel the snow and mow the lawns, which I can't wait for, those who work to provide for our fundraisers and then work at these events. The list goes on and on. The gifts shared are numerous. The outcome is a church family with many gifts to offer, not only to one another, but to those in our community and throughout the world. Let me share now from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15 from the New International Bible. Paul is writing to those in Corinth who have aided the Macedonians. Generosity encouraged. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written in the Psalms, they have frequently scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also see an increase in your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing them and with everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts to each one of you. We each have certain gifts to share. Let us do so generously and with open hearts, because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen.